Judgy Podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Alexa.
Hey, girl.
What's up?
Long time no speak.
I know. I missed you.
On the podcast, because we speak in real life all the time.
I haven't seen you every single day of the week, though, so that makes me very sad.
Yeah. Not now. Not now that we're out of the office.
It's too much.
We'll get back in there, and you'll see my face.
Good.
Just around the corner all the time.
That's the way I like it. Speaking of things I like.
Oh, God.
Can you give me some judgy announcements?
Yes, naturally. So, Patreon. So, our Patreon is fully up and running.
Woot woot.
We've got our uncut episodes. We've got our community hub that has some behind-the-scenes footage, polls.
More funsies?
Just everything.
Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, funsies and some mini-sodes. So, you know, some additional content on top of what we offer in this lovely podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our new Patreons or patrons.
Yeah, we had to learn that, huh?
Yeah. Joya and Christy, thanks for joining our Patreon crowd.
Crew. So happy to crowd. We'll work on that.
I didn't know which word I wanted to use.
A crowd, a crew.
Just came out awkwardly.
A group, perhaps.
Yep.
We also got the YouTube, right, where we put out pop culture videos. We also have our episodes up there too.
Yep.
But I feel like the pop culture videos are fun because you get to see us. And who wouldn't want to see us, right? So go tune into that, guys. It's a lot of fun and merriment.
We put on our best faces for those videos.
Literally, I'm in makeup for at least 5 hours. Best faces, guys.
Please. I just put on a real shirt.
Yeah, so. You don't wear makeup. I wear more makeup than you.
Yeah.
Fun fact alert.
Fun fact. Sadly, a really big moment happened recently,
right,
in pop culture, entertainment, just generally.
In life.
And just for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so this week we're going to talk about the Astroworld concert festival, really, because it was supposed to be 2 days that Travis Scott put together. I'm sure most of you have heard about what happened by now, and it's obviously incredibly sad.
Yep.
But, you know, we'll get into the details of it and kind of talk about our opinions on what it's going to look like legally and...
Yeah, and I think that's what's missing right now, right? Because I feel like there's a lot of information. It's information overload.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of rumors, especially, right? Because this is breaking. This happened last weekend. And so what you and I have done is sift through all of that.
Everything.
And we're a little, it's a lot, right? And
mostly just because it's changing so much right now. Like every day there is new...
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, new legal issues and there's new
evidence,
just
even
evidence
out.
And people, you know, who are injured and things changing in that landscape.
Right.
So it's like constantly moving.
Right. So we're going to do our best, everybody, to cover as much as we know now and essentially give you guys our opinions on where we think liability is going to fall, because obviously there's a lot of lawsuits going on, but all that stuff is going to unfold probably over the next few years. So.
Yeah.
With that, let's get into it.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit about Travis?
So Travis, his real name is Jacquees Berman Webster II. His stage name is obviously Travis Scott, which is a combo of his favorite uncle's name, which is Travis, and his favorite rapper's name, which is Kid Cudi, whose real name is actually Scott.
I thought his real name was Kid Cudi.
Okay. I think his last name is like Mascootie or
it
something.
Is,
whatever,
it is.
Matter.
Like,
let's not get distracted. So Travis moved around for about 4 years while pursuing music in various cities and with various friends. But his big break ultimately comes around 2012 when he's living in LA and T.I. contacts Travis to come to a studio meeting where T.I. ends up freestyling on one of Travis's songs.
What luck.
Yeah, I'm serious. Just to have T.I. discover you.
Right. I mean, he'd been putting out music up
to
this point.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it's just like, wow, it found its way to T.I.
Which is, I mean, rewarding for him because it didn't really sound like the most glamorous rise to where he is now. I mean, I know he like slept on people's couches and floors in New York and Los Angeles. And at one point he was forced to move back home to Texas, but his parents cut him off and kicked him out of the house. So he really had like, you know, he grinded to get to where he was.
He really did.
And after T.I., it was really all uphill from there. He starts working with Kanye and Mike Dean and Pusha T and, like, all of these really big, you know, rap names and continues to, like, get attention and opportunities. So that was really where it all started for him.
I have to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Super unknown fun fact.
What you got?
You're going to be shocked by this.
What's the T?
He's dating Kylie Jenner. Did you know that?
No.
I just found this out doing the research for this episode.
Hot off the presses.
I was shooketh.
Crazy.
They have a daughter together.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know if you knew that.
Nope.
I didn't know. I thought she was a lesbian. Not that lesbians can't have babies, obviously. And she's pregnant with another one on the way.
Yeah.
So that's my super fun fact for you.
Thank you for
that. Unknown.
I'll keep, let's keep, everybody keep that.
But go
hush
on.
Hush.
Go on.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. That's like, I feel like those are like the highlights about Travis and how he got here. If you want to know more, there's actually a really good documentary on Netflix called Look Mom, I Can Fly, which came out, I think, like a year or two ago at this point. And mm-hmm. it's actually about like the lead up to an Astroworld festival. So check that out if you have more questions, because that's all we're giving you in the background for Travis's life.
I'm going to have to watch that. I didn't have time to do it.
Do it.
So let's get into his business ventures. 2017, he launches his own music imprint, Cactus Jack Records, which is distributed by Epic Records. He said he wasn't doing it to have financial control over his music. Do you not believe it? But he wanted to help other artists and to launch new names, essentially. He wanted to give back, is what he said.
Sure, it was a bit of both, but... Okay, go off, Travis.
I'm sure it didn't hurt that he would be able to keep more money in his pocket.
Yes.
But sure, yes. If the primary motivation was to help others, great. In 2018, he announces that he's launching Astroworld Festival right after his third album, Astroworld, drops. Fun fact, Astroworld was a Houston theme park that he spent a lot of time at as a child. Closed down in 2005, so a lot of nostalgia here.
And he talks about that in the Netflix documentary, actually.
Oh, yeah?
No more shout-outs to Netflix because they're not paying us. That's it. That's all you get, Ted Sarandos.
Oh, okay. That was abrupt. Well, the festival, he planned for it to be an annual thing, right? Right across the street from the old grounds of Six Flags Astroworld that would feature big names in music. Mm-hmm. The first one took place in November of that same year, featured Lil Wayne. I don't know if you've heard of him, but I think that he, you know, has a couple fans, Post Malone, to name a few. 2019, Migos, heard of them. Pharrell. That was, oh.
Truly love.
Oh, I didn't know this. Yep. Mm-hmm. Obsessed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, I could see that for you. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Meg Thee Stallion. Obsessed.
Love. Also love Meg.
Love. Obsessed. 2020, the festival gets canceled because of COVID. But he said it's going to return in 2021 as a multi-day festival, which obviously we're going to get back to. Mm-hmm. In 2020, he does a collaboration with McDonald's to launch limited edition meals. First celebrity deal at McDonald's since Michael Jordan in 92. So this is a big deal.
That's insane for Michael Jordan to have been the last one and Travis Scott is next.
I wonder what was going on with McDonald's. They were like, nah, let's cool it. There could have been like...
Probably Kris Jenner.
Kris Jenner?
I mean, she literally masterminds all the deals, so...
She was like, you know what we need to tap? McDonald's.
I mean, she did Carl's Jr. for Kim.
I remember... Yeah, that's true, actually.
So...
I remember seeing this and thinking, really? This is a thing?
It felt really random.
And of course it's a thing, because some ingredients even ran out because of high demand.
Yeah.
So, I guess it sells, and that's why I'm not in marketing.
Yep. It's not the career choice for you.
Did you know they end up actually launching merch around this collaboration? Like, there was an actual McNugget shaped body pillow.
I mean, you gotta keep the gravy train running. I feel like if the food ingredients are out, find something else to sell.
A McNugget pillow? I'm gonna get you one, don't worry.
I mean, first of all, it's pillow, but we can come back to your pronunciation another day.
Do you know what I'm saying? are you confused?
I'm just saying.
You can't.
You're like a Canadian. You said pillow. Like you said milk.
This is the way I talk.
Okay. Let's move on.
Do you want me to nitpick at you?
Nope.
It's fine. I can.
Go ahead.
I have some things ready.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, you go. I'm upset.
And to your point of like why they chose Travis for this collaboration, there were actually a lot of rumors that they chose him to build up a better reputation with people of color. And in response to some discrimination lawsuits that were filed by former people of color employees against McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, McDonald's denies these rumors and the allegations of discrimination generally against them. And they say that they partner with Travis and actually around the same time, J Balvin, because of their appeal to younger customers, which, you know, I don't doubt. Obviously, they're both huge in their own lanes.
It's not Belvin, it's Balvin. If you could just correct that, because I feel like your American accent is really offensive.
You're so petty. Okay, so last but not least, this past year, Travis actually ends up releasing Cacti Spike Seltzer with Anheuser-Busch, which is the company that makes Budweiser.
It's not good.
Okay.
I have some in the corner, by the way.
Yeah, I actually remember us trying that.
We didn't even try it, actually. A friend brought it over, tried one. She was like, ew, gross. And so I've just left it there. It's collecting dust. But if after this we want to break some open, we can try
it. If anybody wants to buy it, we've got a pack.
Yeah, it's
minus one.
Slightly used is the problem, but it's fine.
Okay, so along the way, Travis obviously has undertaken a number of business ventures, which means that problems are, you know, following behind
to abound.
Because that's what happens when you have businesses,
right? But his businesses these legal it's issues a little shaky. Are,
Let's get into them. Mm-hmm. So in 2015, Travis performs at Lollapalooza in Chicago. And there he tells his fans to start climbing the security barricades and come on stage with him. Eventually, a 15-year-old girl is sadly kind of caught up in this stampede of people. And so after she's fine, I should say. But because she was injured in the process, he was actually forced to end the show after just five minutes. So that's literally had gotten through like a song and maybe a half.
Right.
He ends up pleading guilty for reckless endangerment and gets 1 year of court supervision for this. And then in 2017, Travis gets arrested in Arkansas after police accused him of encouraging people to, again, rush the stage. And they claim that he was inciting a riot.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple security guard personnel and police officers actually ended up suffering injuries in the process. So he ends up pleading guilty to disorderly conduct and pays approximately $7,000 to two fans that also claim that they were injured in the scheme of these events.
Right. And it doesn't end there. 2017.
Yeah.
Kyle Green, he's injured and partially paralyzed, allegedly, at Travis's show in New York. So Kyle said that he was forced over the edge of a third floor balcony because his show was so crowded and out of control that he got pushed, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
He also says that after he fell, he was pulled on stage by the rapper despite his injuries. What actually happened is Travis was on stage performing. He saw him fall, told the security guards, hey, bring that guy up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
The guy had fallen. You're not supposed to move people when they're injured. I don't know
third floor balcony.
If you've known that, but yeah. I don't have a medical degree, but I know that. And it's not great. So essentially the security guards move him and force him on stage. And by the way, when they're moving him, there's like no neck brace, no medical supplies, no anything. And there are videos of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the video, you can see a spotlight on him. And Travis is encouraging the guy. He's saying, don't be scared. They're going to catch you, referring to the fans below.
Right.
This is like a trend of his, right? Where it's supposed to be this community, this family. Everyone has each other's backs. Don't worry. It's like a trust fall. Well, Kyle, when he fell, like I said, what was going on with his injuries, he apparently broke several bones, including a couple vertebrae.
Oof.
And so, like I said, when they moved him, obviously not great. When he gets on stage, Travis apparently presented him with a ring. It almost felt like a reward.
Thanks so much.
Right. Like, how do you interpret that?
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially like, good job, you ultra fan. Right. Here you go. Thank mm-hmm. you for the devotion is how I interpret it.
Right.
Kyle, of course, later sues Travis, his manager, the promoter, and the security company for the show for negligence and recklessness, as well as pain and suffering, loss of earnings, and emotional distress.
Mm-hmm.
Travis's team says that Kyle voluntarily took the risk when jumping and that Travis had no obligation to supervise or control his fans. The lawsuit is still pending, but you know what's not looking good after this, or you know, in time, he creates the song Stargazing. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Very familiar.
But he says that he's gotten fans stage diving out of the nosebleeds. It's part of the lyrics.
It's a little cringy. I feel like it's probably not appropriate to joke about that when you've got a case pending against you for somebody who fell out of the nosebleeds and is now partially paralyzed.
Right. And a quick note that lawyers will probably try to use this as evidence.
For
should
sure.
it be? No, you could say it's creative expression,
yeah.
but it doesn't help, at least at the PR level, right?
Yeah.
About how this is looking.
Yeah. Well, so those were all of the lawsuits arising out of his concerts, but he's also had some other, like, you know, not great things for his reputation. So in 2019, he was sued by a concert promoter, PJAM, for bailing on a pre-Super Bowl concert after Stormy, his daughter, was born, the one he shares with Kylie Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
And so he received an $150,000 advance and a private jet was acquired for his travel to come to this, you know, concert, and then fails to show up.
I think it was in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the Super Bowl was.
I had no
that
idea.
Year.
Is that okay. where they kick the ball?
Okay.
Is that every year?
No. What? It moves cities. Okay.
I'm just joshing.
So anyways, the company asked for the $150,000 back, of course, mm-hmm. as well as attorney's fees and like other fees resulting from his cancellation. Travis ends up countersuing and claiming that he didn't perform because they failed to properly secure travel for him to get to Las Vegas for a previously scheduled event that would be later that night.
Mm.
The jury clearly did not buy it because they ended up ordering Travis to pay PJAM just over $380,000.
Ouch.
Which is way more than the $150,000 that they started off by asking
right.
for.
They were not. They were not very happy is what you're saying.
Nope.
Okay. Well, how about this? He also missed out on a performance at a festival after accepting a deposit of $217,000 plus $500. I hate doing the points, by the way. 217.5.
Okay.
For said performance. So Travis's team says that the group who entered into the contract doesn't actually represent him and has no relationship with him. I'm kind of getting...
Sounds a lot like Rihanna's dad.
I was just going to say Riri dad vibes, some right?
Fraudulent behaviors.
Sad. Yep. TBT, though, for anybody who hasn't caught up on our episodes, go check out our Riri episode. Also worth noting that he had a concert at Madison Square Garden for the same day. So probably true. I want to believe that these guys probably didn't represent him. Couldn't find any other updates, but I guess as we get them, we'll report on it.
So just a couple more. So he settles a $28 million lawsuit filed by one of the members in 3-6 Mafia in 2019 as well. So they allege that his song, No Bystanders, infringed upon their copyright of the song Tear the Club Up. The cadence and the sound is like very similar if you put them next to each other. Mm-hmm. And that in Travis's 2019 Grammys performance, he actually even used their lyrics in his song, which is so dumb, but okay.
So not good.
And so, yeah. I mean, luckily they end up settling this, like figuring out pretty amicably. They end up having a phone call and settling for an undisclosed financial amount. And Travis ends up agreeing to give them writing credits for the song. And Travis mentioned that he actually thought that his team had cleared the rights to use their song previously. So seemingly that this was not like a bad guy situation.
I guess that happens. Yeah. You don't know. And then in 2020, Control Freak, a company that manufactures gaming gear. So, Nicole, in case you don't know, there's controllers, which you operate with your hands. And there's a thing called thumbsticks. And those are just essentially thumb controllers. Okay, mm-hmm. I just want you to know because I know you're not really a gamer. So they sued Travis and his Cactus Jack label because Travis had a big collab going with the massively popular video game Fortnite and planned to make Cactus Jack branded gaming merch. Instead of initially manufacturing his own controllers, though, his team allegedly used pictures of Control Freak's thumbsticks, but then slapped on their logo to promote his upcoming lunch. And then that sounded like lunch, didn't it?
Yep. It's okay. We know what you meant. Go ahead, girl. It's just lunch.
His lunch. Yep. I'm just hungry. I want some lunch. I know.
We're all hungry here.
So Control Freak sends them a cease and desist saying, stop doing this. And allegedly, Travis's team took the opportunity to try to make a deal with them and said, how about you manufacture our Cactus Jack branded thumbsticks? Mm-hmm. They didn't reach a deal, though. Apparently, Travis asked them to manufacture his controllers at no cost. Don't know if that's true, but that's the rumor. Of course they'd agree to that. Travis found another manufacturer, but Control Freak ends up suing him for copyright infringement because turns out their designs are, of course, copyright protected, which you and I know. Copyright, protection of an original idea. Designs are original idea. Mm-hmm. They allege that Travis used their thumbsticks, their design, and then just packaged and used their packaging and then slapped his logo on them. Mm-hmm. And people complained that they thought Control Freak controllers were not as good of quality. So they also said, hey, you're messing up our customers. They're getting confused. In May 2021, Control Freak actually dropped their lawsuit, and it's because the party settled. And we all know settling means the trial stops. That means you guys reached some agreement behind closed doors. We don't get to know what it was, but all right.
Yeah. Well, so in addition to these, Travis has had a couple issues for throwing some permitted. Permitted, non-permitted parties in various locations. So in September of 2020, he actually showed up at a McDonald's in LA to promote the meal that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And he announced this on social media that he'd be stopping by. So the crowd, of course, shows up, right? They're excited to see him. They break through the barriers that McDonald's sets up. And he, of course, rushes out, but not before being captured on Instagram Live as he's smiling. And so the city ends up fining him and McDonald's huge fee of $100 for not obtaining an event permit, which you essentially need to host gatherings for more than 200 people. And ultimately around 500 people showed up for him. Fun fact to note, McDonald's paid for him. Glad they could fork over the $100 on his behalf.
Yep, that's nice.
But he did not learn his lesson because in February of this year, he was actually investigated for not securing a permit for his pop-up shop in Los Angeles. And so he launched this newsstand in West Hollywood following his takeover of ID Magazine. And tells his fans to basically like swarm the streets of this pop-up. And then again, he does a drive-by in his limo, which is quite lame to me, but fine. Who's even getting in limos these days? And the city alleges that he may have violated COVID restrictions by organizing a gathering that he had, again, not received a permit for. And obviously, again, the city's been, you know, really reluctant to do these things given social distancing and COVID. So
I'm noticing a thing here.
Yes, we've got some things happening.
Complete disregard for some rules and regulations and perhaps some safety.
Yeah.
Okay. September 2021, Travis's Cacti Seltzer brand gets sued in a class action lawsuit, actually. They allege that the drink's label misleads customers. Thought that they were paying premium for blue agave and not agave sweetener. Turns out the label says made with 100% blue agave from Mexico. But if you actually look at the ingredients, the fine print says agave syrup.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a claim that he wouldn't have made as much money in the absence of this misconduct, right? Yeah. People are going to pay a premium for premium ingredients, but turns out essentially this is fructose corn syrup.
Yep.
So I'm out.
All lies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So those are some... Just a little lay of the land for his businesses and legal issues.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly he's got some experience with legal problems, many of which are still pending, like we said, and, you know, will surely kind of come to head in the coming years. But I think, you know, it's now time to turn to
The main event here, unfortunately.
The main thing sadly that's going on. So as we mentioned, Travis, you know, started to put together this Astroworld Festival back in 2018. And it's this annual festival that takes place at NRG Stadium in Houston. And so this year's festival was last weekend on November 5th. That was the starting day, at least. And as a reminder, since the 2020 festival was canceled, Travis planned for this year's show to be a two-day festival to basically make it up to his fans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, clearly, like, based on the things that we've mentioned, Travis's concerts have a tendency to get a little wild and result in injuries. And, like, I think it's a big part of his culture is, like, not his the culture of his concerts and shows is very, like, mosh pity. And, you know, we've obviously mentioned his previous lawsuits, but even the marketing that he uses for his shows like stretchers and wheelchairs and these crazy stunts and people jumping off of balconies and stuff like that he and his fans participate in.
Mm-hmm.
And even in an interview with GQ in 2015, he said that he wanted his concerts to feel like the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the vibe that I ever wanted a concert, but
wrestling.
That's clearly, like,
it's a lot of young people just being hype and energetic,
mm-hmm.
right? They're jumping up and down. Again, he's encouraging people, come forward, come closer. Mm-hmm. Let's have high energy, jump off stuff. Just be wild and young is how I feel. I feel too old for this energy. Just
rage
in general
is like his main statement. Yes. He always says, like, let's rage.
Right, right. And it's kind of like, it looks hypnotic when you watch some of the videos, right? It's like everybody's in some sort of trance and they're watching him and they're all jumping in unison. You're like, oh, geez, this is like a cult of music, right? But I imagine when you're there, you're into it. Obviously here, things just got out of hand.
Yeah. Well, so the day before the event, actually, the police chief ends up having a meeting with Travis and his head of security. And so the chief basically said that he was expressing concerns regarding the public safety. And he specifically mentioned, like, current challenges with the pandemic, obviously, you know, social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
And with social tension, just given, like, all of kind of the racial conversations and political things that have happened in the country over the past couple years. And so he essentially asked Travis and his team to be really just mindful of their messaging around the show, any unscheduled events, like, you know, pop-up parties,
drive-bys and limos,
things like that, and mm-hmm. safety. And so approximately 50,000 people end up attending the first day of the festival on Friday, November 5th.
Right.
And it doesn't really start out too great because earlier in the day, people who were presumably non-ticket holders storm the gates and they knock them down and run in. And there are all these videos kind of circulating online of this. And it's pretty, you know, it's terrifying because some people are already seen being, like, trampled on just mm-hmm. in the beginning of the day as they mm-hmm. try to rush in. But eventually, in that instance at least, cops on horseback kind of show up and stop it.
Right. Yeah. I saw this video, by the way. It was truly terrifying. And I'm thinking, what's going on already?
Yeah.
Anyway, the festival goes on. And Travis takes the stage just after 9 p.m., it mm-hmm. sounds like. It's worth noting here, too, that Drake also shows up at some point. There's some videos caught of him performing with an ambulance in the middle of the crowd, but we're going to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
So shortly after he starts performing, there's a crowd surge. People on the sides start pushing toward the center, and that essentially starts crushing the people in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And authorities are still saying it's unclear what exactly caused the surge. But based on his concert going history and just, I think, general understanding of humans wanting to get closer to the show,
mm-hmm.
I feel like him coming on stage is what caused it. People just got very excited. We've seen a pattern with this. They want to get closer. I also think with general admission, this just happens.
Yeah.
So people go closer. As a result of the surge, things get really chaotic, as mm-hmm. we know. Mm-hmm. Police say that people actually start to panic and trample each other. But some experts say that people were being trampled on and losing consciousness was simply a result of the number of people and the pressure. Mm-hmm. It's probably a mix of both, right? Yeah. There's some people who are purposefully aiming for the stage, and then there's some people who are just getting pushed like dominoes.
Yeah, like caught in it.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's also like that lack of like oxygen that some of the experts were talking about. Once like that many people are that close together, right. Or like you couldn't even see some of the videos where like people have like their arms up because they couldn't even like put them down next to their sides.
Right, they were packed in so tight. Right. And I'd imagine too, when you get into that kind of space, you start to panic. Mm-hmm. So for sure. You're just gonna reflexively start to move around, mm-hmm. just gonna move everybody around. It just
yeah.
So around 9:30 p.m., an ambulance makes its way into the middle of the crowd. There are videos of people dancing on top of it, actually. Mm-hmm. And city officials actually declare the show a mass casualty event, like pretty quickly. It's reported that Live Nation agreed to cut the show short around this time, but the show doesn't end until 10:10 p.m., so approximately 40 minutes more of this chaos.
40 minutes is a long time.
And Houston's police chief, Troy Finner, would later tell New York Times that officials were worried that stopping the show early could have spurred even more animosity and violence, saying, "You cannot just close when you got over 50,000 individuals. We have to worry about rioting, riots, when you have a group that's that young." So during this chaotic time, people are screaming at Travis, right? At cameramen, at security to stop the show.
It was crazy. I think one of the most impactful videos that I saw was actually the day after. It was this young lady who hopped on the cameraman's platform to tell him that people were being crushed. And I eventually read her story later. But so she was saying that she had come from the crowd and her friend got trampled. She somehow got the friend up and made her way out, which is wildly impressive when you see the videos of these crowds. And so she takes another friend and goes to this platform and she's like, "Stop, people are being crushed, people are dying, they can't breathe." Mm-hmm. And you can see her friend right behind her on the ladder trying to shout the same thing. Mm-hmm. But the cameraman is like, "No, get down, get off," and is just ignoring her. And you can see like she's so frustrated and stressed out because she's like looking at all this happening in the crowd. So there's like that. And then, you know, there are now videos of like cops trying to get people out of the crowd and dropping people because there are so many, and, you know, fans shouting at the stage, asking Travis to stop, and kids posting videos of, you know, them literally taking pictures of like their friends underneath other feet and being like, "Just like reach your hand up, keep your phone on, like I'm looking for you." And it's horrible.
It's terrible.
It's absolutely fucking horrible. And so, I mean, it was reported at least that as all these things were happening, Travis, I guess, paused the concert around three times to ask his fans what was happening. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think at one point he even says, like, "Somebody passed out, get them help."
Right.
He points. But then each time he resumes the concert. So it's obviously not enough to, like, rescue these people who are really, like, you know, on the ground.
Right. Like, stop the concert until everything's taken care of.
Right.
Is the problem.
And so as a result of this, it ends up being that 300 people are treated over the course of the entire day, but approximately 25 people are taken to the hospital and 11 were in cardiac arrest. And so as of that night / the next morning, 8 people died, like, on the scene or, you know, that evening. Mm-hmm. And since then, one additional woman has died. And so they were, all the victims were between 14 and 27 years old, which is like crazy. They're just, you know, it's very sad. They're all very young and, you know, they still haven't released the causes of death. So, you know, we obviously know what the event was that caused the death, but we don't know what the actual physical response in their bodies was that caused them to die.
Mm-hmm. And afterwards, Live Nation and Travis post statements to their social media saying that they're heartbroken for the victims and their families. They're working with authorities to help investigate, right? You get it can feel very sterile.
Like rehearsed.
I'm going to say.
Yeah.
They definitely consulted with a PR expert.
Mm-hmm.
Even Kylie posts and says that they weren't aware of the fatalities and wouldn't have continued filming or performing if they did. However, her Instagram story of the concert, right? Because she was posting while the concert was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the ambulance in the crowd. So people immediately come at her and she takes it down.
Right.
Of course. And then Travis later posts a video saying how devastated he is. He's sending prayers. He wants to help the families. He's talking about how much his fans mean to him, right? Twitter isn't having it. They're going crazy after the post from Kylie and Travis's video. The hashtag #CancelTravisScott starts trending on Twitter. People are posting videos of other musicians stopping shows to help fans and make sure people are safe. Adele, Linkin Park, ASAP Rocky, right? Just a number of videos.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying Travis should have done this. and they criticize Kylie and Kendall for being in safe, ventilated spaces while people are struggling, right? Because they're in trailers in the back, mm-hmm. away from everybody else. And so they're just looking out from essentially the stage, mm-hmm. out into the crowd while this is unfolding. Mm-hmm. And Drake, because we know that he obviously made a little cameo, didn't say anything until Monday night, right? So again, this happened Friday, mm-hmm. so Monday, mm-hmm. On his Instagram. Yep. So very personal. He says this all after the Kardashians reposted Kim's story.
Right.
Which I feel like, what, is this a Kris Jenner move? What's going on?
Yeah.
People have gone back through, sorry.
No, it's fine.
No, you tell me.
Okay. I actually just think it's a bit unfair. Okay. First of all, mm-hmm. I don't really know what Kim's motives are, nor do I care. But I think like after the fact, people end up, fans and just people probably who aren't even there, whatever the case is, end up going back through like social media, mm-hmm. of Kendall and Khloé and like criticizing them and calling them tone deaf and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And like, it's obviously a very sad event, but I think like they were posting things before this happened, right? And so I guess, yes, they could have spoken up earlier, but like Khloé, for instance, wasn't there. Mm. So like, sure, you know, out of the goodness of her heart, she said something and reposted Kim's story, but like she wasn't actually there. So I didn't quite understand the anger towards her. Mm. While maybe she could have, you know, refrained from posting things on her story the next day, I get that. Mm-hmm. Or like even Kendall, who posted at the start of the festival. I mean, the sun was clearly up and it was daytime, so it was before everything happened, but people were like attacking her and she ends up deleting the post. And I'm like, we're all mad. People are very sad. I get that. But I think the line gets so fine between what's acceptable and what's not, mm-hmm. in this like very gray situation. You, mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I think it's all different, right? Everybody's going to react differently, feel differently, mourn differently. But I will say that Kris Jenner is known as being such a PR machine. Mm-hmm. I'm a little surprised because I know that she also posted for her birthday, which was like, I think on a Tuesday. After a couple days later. Right. Yeah. Like a couple days. And she took some flack for that. So maybe to your point, right? I don't know, but I think that the point is people want to feel like they are being held accountable.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Well, so as of today, almost 50 lawsuits have been filed against Travis and the organizers of the event, which includes Live Nation Entertainment, who's a promoter, venue operator, and obviously owner of Ticketmaster. Then there's Cactus Jack Records, again, Travis's record label. Score More, who is a concert promoter, and Harris County Sports and Convention Corporation, which provides like oversight for entertainment venues in Houston and manages NRG Park, where the festival took place. And so Travis isn't actually named personally in all of them, and it's hard to pin down right now because things are literally changing like by the hour, by the day, mm-hmm. but it seems that in approximately 30 out of the 50, he's named as a defendant.
Okay.
And in at least one of the lawsuits, Drake is actually named as a defendant as well, mm-hmm. since he was reportedly, you know, performing during part of like the mayhem, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And that specific lawsuit claims that Drake helped incite the crowd. Mm. And so, you know, in these various lawsuits, some of these victims are sadly claiming that their injuries are permanent. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big part of, you know, the underbelly of what's going on. But as a general matter, all of the lawsuits seem to point towards negligence and gross negligence, which resulted in foreseeable body injuries as well as inciting a mayhem. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so negligence is a failure to exercise the same level of care as a reasonable person would in similar circumstances. And so a negligence claim can get pretty technical, but the gist is like whether Travis, the promoters, the venue, etc., owed the concert goers a duty of care and then failed to uphold that duty, which led to foreseeable injuries. Mm-hmm. So that's one basis. So gross negligence is similar to negligence, except it's worse. It's basically like an extreme indifference or reckless disregard for the health and safety of others. And the last one, like I said, was inciting mayhem, which, you know, varies state to state, but generally just means that, you know, you're disabling or disfiguring someone. And so the injury has to be permanent and not just a temporary loss. Mm-hmm. And so with that, like, legal primer, you want to get into some of the specific claims around how, like, Travis and the promoters and the venue kind of may have failed these concert goers?
Yeah, let's get into it. So one big claim, failure to plan the event in a safe manner. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the seating,
yep.
or lack thereof, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a thing called festival seating. So this basically refers to general admission. First come, first serve. You stand wherever, mm-hmm. right? Instead of reserve seats or seats at all, right? In this case, there were none. Mm-hmm. This allows venues to sell more tickets,
yep.
because you have more space and people can just squish, mm-hmm. sardines, mm-hmm. right? And if you think about it, the seats themselves force perimeters. They force rows. So people can't be packed on top of each other.
Yep.
Alternatively, you know, this venue in particular could have used a more modern festival approach of dividing the ground with heavy iron barriers. I know Coachella does this, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose is to try to prevent mosh pits or heavy crowds. Basically what happened here, they tried to prevent this. It also helps that security can spot trouble areas more easily by doing this. But some people are skeptical that this would have worked with this crowd because people still could be crushed into the barriers, right? So there's multiple things that need to happen. There are allegations that people without tickets got in, as we mentioned. You know, there are videos circulating showing this happened when they knocked down the gate. So you're going to hear this because I think for the security's sake, they're going to say there's more people than we thought there would be, right? So we couldn't have accounted for the non-ticket holders that just kind of broke in. And it's worth noting here that Live Nation should be responsible for maintaining venue capacity as the promoter, along with the other promoters, but I think the main one, Live Nation. The fire chief says that they inspected entrances and exits in advance, so they think it was crowd control and not overcrowding. Now, I want to take a pause and say that statements have been kind of changing depending on where the liability is looking, right? So at one point it's good to be like, I examined everything.
Oh, I know
it was all good. And then you're, as videos come out of things not looking good, that statement could be used against you because then you might have been negligent, right? You failed your duty of care to inspect and make sure everything looked the way it should have looked. So actually, Fire Chief, you should have, you know, it's not good either way though, because if you said, no, I didn't properly check, also negligence. So really you're just kind of effed, right? Another thing, there weren't enough security guards within and around the crowds who were trained in crowd management. So this has been an issue in the past because firms tell their guards not to get too involved so there aren't any workers' comp suits. We're not going to name names, but this is a thing, right? Hush, hush, wink, wink. We got a note here that it's been reported that there were 528 police officers there. There were 755 guards hired by Live Nation. Apparently, this was an increase of 150 personnel since their 2019 festival.
Which isn't really that many people when you think about it. It's like two rooms.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, compared to 50,000 people.
Yeah.
Right?
It's nothing. Yeah, but go ahead.
The mayor made a statement that they had more security over there than we had at the World Series games. But the number of officers and security doesn't really matter. Doesn't mean shit if they're not in the right locations and they're not trained to handle big crowds.
But also to your point, I mean, of earlier, you know, with like arranged seating, the World Series has arranged seats that you like, you pay for a specific seat. So yeah, I mean, maybe it works to have less officers there because everybody's got an assigned place that they have to be.
Right.
And you know, you can have people stand in the aisles and all of that. And so like you can strategically kind of place people in like an organized manner, but it doesn't really work when there's 50,000 people who are all crowding to the front of a concert.
Exactly what I thought when he said that. Okay, let's, that's not apples to apples. That's very different.
Very different.
And another thing that came out, there's not enough emergency personnel given the size. Other concert goers had to conduct CPR on other people. There's videos of this, right? People having, ordinary people just doing their best to help revive friends, strangers, just trying to help. One EMT from the festival actually said that medics ran out of necessary equipment due to the deluge of people suffering from drug overdoses.
Crazy.
And another thing that we have to mention is that apparently there wasn't even enough water to combat dehydration on the grounds. So you're thinking people got here early in the day, right? There's sunlight. Travis doesn't go on until after 9 p.m. So you've presumably been standing out in the sun all day long. You're probably not at full strength
in Texas
or coherence.
Yeah,
it could be hot.
Yeah.
So that's going to contribute to, especially when you're getting squished in, you're probably apt to pass out. You could pass out even without being squished if you're too hot, right?
Right,
from
for sure.
Overheating.
For sure. Well, so to, just to like do a broad overview. So those were all claims or like evidence of them not, you know, properly maybe planning for this to be a safe event. And then another claim is that the parties basically created dangerous conditions and even ignored the extreme risks. And so some examples of this include like Travis and Drake actively encouraging fans to rage and, you know, seemingly not changing anything about their safety and protocols after the police chief met with Travis. And so essentially both of these claims come together to lead up to this was all preventable. Mm-hmm. And one of the lawyers even says, in quotes, there's every indication that the performers, organizers, and venue were not only aware of the hectic crowd, but also that the injuries and potential deaths may have occurred. Still, they decided to put profits over the attendees and allow the deadly show to go on. So as a result of this, like we said, there's been approximately 50 lawsuits filed as of now. And I'm sure that will continue to grow. And so Ben Crump, who's actually a famous civil rights attorney who worked on George Floyd and Breonna Taylor's cases, has since stepped in to file a lawsuit on behalf of approximately 90 people who attended, which includes one of the victims who tried to help lift people off the ground, and really sadly, the 9-year-old boy who's currently in a coma. Mm-hmm. And so he was asking people early last week to contact him so that he could start to prepare a class action, which is clearly building up now that he's got 90. And interestingly enough, he actually seems to be pointing his blame towards Live Nation and less of Travis Scott in and of himself. And so Ben Crump has been saying that Live Nation could have stopped the show when things started to turn and escalate around 9 p.m., basically right after Travis took the stage. Mm-hmm. But then on the other hand, there's actually a separate lawsuit, which was filed by a San Antonio attorney that has approximately 100 to 150 people who've joined that lawsuit. It's unclear where the damages are going to be on this one, just given the number of people. But the lawyer has since opined that it could be in the billions, which is, you know, astronomical. But obviously so much has happened. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as of today, again, because things are continuously changing, we've just got the information right now. It looks like about 27 victims are individually asking for $1 million each in damages for their injuries and to cover medical expenses. And then we've obviously got these two class action lawsuits that are pending and in the works, which could have an additional hundreds of millions of dollars in damages that they're asking for. So mm-hmm. truly things are looking like they could be in the hundreds of millions and potentially even reaching the billions.
Yeah. What, we're almost at 50 lawsuits in total.
Yeah.
And this is less than a handful.
And it's only been, what, a week and some days?
Yeah. So. And we should clarify, class action happens when multiple people have a similar same claim. So mm-hmm. you can just have 150 people attached to one lawsuit. Mm-hmm. It makes it easier to share resources. Lawyers usually will give you like a pay cut essentially because mm-hmm. they are working on behalf of multiple people. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense here. And it's worth noting too that Texas actually opened a criminal investigation, including their homicide and narcotics detectives into this investigation. So narcotics, we kind of referenced this earlier, but rumors have been swirling about people being shot with drugs, including a security guard who went unconscious after feeling a prick in his neck. Later, police confirmed that this wasn't actually the case, but they're definitely going to want to investigate these types of things, right?
And as you said, we know that there were people who overdosed and had some drug things. So, like, even if it wasn't that specific officer, it seems like there's enough evidence for the narcotics unit to step in.
Exactly. Another one, manslaughter, right? People mm-hmm. died here. So, under Texas law, reckless behavior that causes someone's death is considered manslaughter. The thing that's going to matter here is whether or not any of these people stepped in to stop the concert once they knew people were dying. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be obviously harder to prove. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to look back over videos to see, you know, angles and stuff. We're going to get into that a little bit more in a bit, but also worth noting that Astroworld Festival, Live Nation, and Scoremore have been turning over their footage from the event, mm-hmm. right? So they're going to have to pour over this to mm-hmm. see what's there.
Right. And so, I mean, there's obviously so many layers to this situation, right, given the various lawsuits. And, you know, they all result from the same event, which is that Astroworld Festival. But you know, they all name different defendants. There are different injuries. There's different damages. But, you know, we've got kind of some theories on the liability here. So Travis's liability, you know, individually as a performer. Mm-hmm. So that's one option. So historically, performers have rarely been found liable for incidents at festivals. An example, Pearl Jam wasn't sued in 2000 when 9 people were trampled to death at one of their shows. Mm-hmm. You know, here the court will have to determine whether Travis knew or should have known what was going on. And so again, to your point, there's all this video and evidence that you know, the concert organizers are now providing, and they've obviously got a ton of video that they can take from fans. But they'll have to kind of pour over that and see if, from Travis's vantage point specifically, whether he could tell that there was a problem or if he agitated or incited the crowd as he's done in the past. And if that was the case, he would likely be liable. And they'll have to address, like, the should have known, right? Mm-hmm. Plaintiffs will also have to likely point to his history of inciting people to mob and rush and, you know, mosh pit and blah, 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 and ignore security and jump off balcony. So that will likely be used against him in court. And you know, it's interesting, right? Because I think when you look at the videos and you think about how concerts go, right? And we are not world performers who we're not, we've never been on stage, right? In that kind of capacity. But when you think about the lights and all of the people and like all of the things going on, especially because he's got smoke and he's got all these like special effects and things, it's really going to be like a fine line between whether he could have seen somebody in the crowd being hurt with all of those things going on.
Right. And usually they have some sort of earplug, right? They have stuff in their ears to make sure that they can hear what they need to hear when they're performing.
Right.
I'm obviously not a musician. I don't know what that is, but obviously they have that. And to your point, I mean, this comes out that he's saying he didn't know what happened until the day after, right? Him and Kylie are saying that. And I'd imagine him, let's just assume he didn't realize what was going on. For him, this has happened before. People usually mosh, they rage, right? People do pass out. Now, have they died and has this happened yet up to this point? No. So maybe for him, he's thinking, okay, this is par for the course. This is kind of what happens. People kind of pass out. You know, like you said, he stopped a couple times. He's pointed. So maybe he's thinking that's the worst of it because you can't see perhaps, you know, all of that happening. So when he sees the ambulance coming through, maybe he's thinking, it's a big festival. This is what happens. Now, does that mean that's true? The courts are going to have to go over and see because, as you pointed out, negligence, what would a reasonable person have done in this situation? And I love that because no one knows what a reasonable person is. It's all about fact-finding when you go to court. This is when people go this or this, and you're really arguing. This is when facts come into it so much, right?
And I think there's also the practicality of it, though, which I think people are maybe not stopping to reflect on as much as I think would be fair. Like, having myself been to multiple concerts and festivals, I mean, festivals specifically, because like, I think concerts are different, but like, I've gone to a number of Made in America festivals, which are this huge festival that used to take place in Philly, whatever, it doesn't matter. But I say that to say that, like, I remember one year Beyonce performed, and of course, it's Beyonce, so everybody rushes the stage, and people fell, and people got hurt, and, like, these are things that happen at festivals, again, kind of tracing back to your matter of, like, there's no seating. So when you have no seating, you have no barricades, people just get excited, and they get carried away. And so, while, yes, Travis has obviously been on record encouraging this kind of behavior, I think there's a very practical piece of this that, like, these things happen at music festivals because there's just less control in place.
Yeah, I will say that I would be interested to see if he, in quotes, incited the crowd the way he has in the past, right? Because a lot of these lawsuits, from what I can tell, are pointing to past concerts where he's done this. I haven't really heard any audio where he's saying, come forward, rush the barricades, rush security. Because if he's saying that, it's not looking as great for him. But if he's just performing and he's just saying, you know, get hype with me, that is probably going to look better for him legally, right? But okay, let's move off of him and his liability as a performer.
Well, so it's just worth noting one thing here that I thought was really interesting. So he, if you look at the videos or if you saw the videos, you'll note that he didn't really apologize in his statements or like his kind of...
Good pointing out.
His Instagram videos on his story. And I think that was most likely at the legal advice of his legal team to avoid kind of appearing to admit any wrongdoing. And so I think, you know, there's just so much that goes into the bucket of like whether Travis could be liable, but who else is up on the...
No, you're right. No, that's a very good point because I think that the public court obviously wants to find fault in somebody. And so good, worth noting. Okay, liability of the event organizers. I feel like this is a big one. So you have Travis as an organizer, and that's important distinction, right? You have him as a performer, but you also have him as an organizer. You have Live Nation, you have Scoremore, you have Harris County Sports and Convention Corporation, which were, you know, the group that manages NRG Park, where the festival actually took place. So generally, organizers are responsible for hiring security, providing emergency medical services, controlling crowds, and configuring evacuation routes, right? So they're in charge of making sure everybody is safe. Mm-hmm. So the courts are going to pore over different things like the timeline of events, who was hired, what plans were in place to ensure safety, how security and medical personnel responded to the emergencies. And they're going to look at that 40-minute time difference mm-hmm. between when they said this was a mass casualty event and Travis stopping his performance. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say, okay, did these organizers fall short of their duty of care? Mm-hmm. That's that negligence claim. That's what we're getting at here. And it's things, statements by certain people are going to be used against them or not. So they're going to pore over statements like the police chief saying, well, we don't want to stop. It can cause riots, that type of thing, right? And it's worth noting, too, that courts are going to review the contracts between all these organizers to see how the allocation of responsibility worked. For example, Live Nation could have agreed to bear most of the responsibility on behalf of, let's say, the venue, mm-hmm. right? The one that's managing the venue, I mean, in exchange for letting Live Nation have the concert there, mm-hmm. right? Because you have the property owner.
Right.
And then you're going to go, okay, if you want to run an event on my property, then I'm not liable for anything that happens. You are.
Which practically speaking is how events typically are, right? Like if you think about a wedding, mm-hmm. you often assume the risk for people getting hurt and things like that, which is why people get, you know, wedding insurance, which we'll come back to in a second. But to your point, like practically speaking, that happens a lot when people have events on another person's property.
Yes. And so to your point, it's all going to be in the contract. What do the contracts mm-hmm. say? And same with Travis and his record company, who is part of the organizers, right? Because he's not really an event organizer. That's not what he does.
Right.
He's a performer, but he's also he's a business owner. Mm-hmm. So he's going to want some of those profits, which is probably why he was part of an organizer. Mm-hmm. So I'd imagine there's probably something between him and Live Nation, where again, I think Live Nation, because they're in the business of being promoters, are going to probably assume most of the risk.
Yep.
And it's important here actually to note that Live Nation requires people to waive liability for negligence prior to purchasing tickets. So everybody, when you go online and you buy tickets, you know all that fine print where you just have to click the box and you go, whatever, I don't want to read this.
Like, I agree.
I want to go buy my Britney Spears concert tickets. Mm-hmm. In this case, the waiver of liability said something like this. You voluntarily assume all risks and danger incidental to the event for which the ticket is issued, whether occurring before, during, or after the event, and you waive any claims for personal injury or death against us. Which
very
sounds
broad.
Pretty dramatic if you think about it, right? Imagine how many people, I wonder how many people would actually hesitate to agree to something like this when you see something like death on there,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But under Texas law, and most states, by the yep. way, but we're in Texas here, the waiver has to be very clear.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be visible and it has to be easy to understand. So it can't be in legalese, mm-hmm. right? It has to be a non-lawyer can easily understand what they're agreeing to.
Mm-hmm.
So I could imagine that in court, this is going to be litigated.
For sure.
Right? How easy was it? How accessible was this waiver?
Mm-hmm.
Was this really a good enough waiver? Mm-hmm. Actually, I want to also say this doesn't waive people from gross negligence, right? The yep. thing that you said, reckless disregard.
Yep.
So again, if there was evidence at the time, let's say 9:30, that it was apparent that people were dying or mayhem was ensuing, right? People were getting seriously injured and Live Nation said, we don't want to lose these people. We don't want to cut the concert short. We don't want to lose out on our profits. Let it just go. Don't tell Travis to stop. Right? Mm-hmm. Because Travis is performing. Live Nation should be the ones to call the stage manager and cut the sound.
Yeah.
Right? That's their job as organizers. So that stuff is going to come out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, right, there's Drake's potential liability. So, I mean, the reality is Drake is likely not liable here. He was not an organizer. He was on stage for a couple minutes at the very most. So it was a really brief period of time. And we think the only way that he might be found liable as if he clearly saw what was happening and saw fans being injured or trampled or whatever the case and ignored like what he saw or was inciting kind of additional mayhem around these people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, just to reflect, right? We've got the possible liability of Travis as a performer. We've got the event organizers. Then we've got Drake, who's like very small and last in list. Yeah. Yep. So there's like a bunch of next steps that could arise out of this, right? And so as we kind of mentioned, there's insurance. And so the defendants, being, you know, the concert organizers and Travis, could ultimately look to insurance companies to help them out with some of the costs. And that kind of falls into two categories. So there's event insurance. This is exactly what it sounds like. It's just insurance that helps cover the costs of damage and injuries arising from a specific event, like a wedding or a birthday party or whatever the case is. At this point, it's actually really unclear if they had obtained specific insurance for the Astroworld Festival as an event, but it would certainly be helpful in mitigating costs unless the insurance company disputes that this would be a covered matter, right. i.e. due to gross negligence again, because gross negligence changes the standard for everything.
Usually it's not, right?
Right. It's usually not a covered event.
Right.
And on the other hand, there's the defendant's insurance, like as the various companies. So we were able to find out that allegedly NRG Park, where Astroworld was taking place, has an insurance policy with a $25 million umbrella, meaning that they would have to cover, they being NRG, would have to cover anything past this $25 million. Again, this could be eradicated if it's a gross negligence kind of situation or event. And right now, experts are predicting hundreds of millions of dollars in liability. So like $25 million is really kind of a drop in the bucket.
Right. And Travis is probably going to try to get dismissed from these lawsuits and shift the blame to the other organizers who may have had more of a defined duty of care for concert goers, right? We're going to come back to that duty of care. Travis is going to say, I'm not really an organizer, right? I'm an organizer in name. This is my festival. I'm a performer, but I'm not actually the one that's supposed to be hiring the personnel and coordinating with the police chief. And, you know, that's going to be his defense. So if the judges don't allow this, he'll likely try to limit his own liability in the suits to mitigate how much he's responsible for. So this is kind of like the allocation of risk situation that we talked about, right? When you have multiple defendants, it's possible they can all be found guilty. But when it comes to determining damages, juries or judges can allocate how much each defendant owes of the liability. So let's say they owe $500 million. They can say, all right, everybody but Travis, you owe, you know, let's say $490 million. Travis, you owe $10 million for your fault. And the fault and who's at fault and then the proportionate amount of damages owed is all going to be found out in court, right? It's a very arduous, exhausting process, but that stuff is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's possible even that Travis could bring his own suit against the event organizers, right? Because he could say, you guys were negligent to me. You assured me that you were going to handle this concert, right? We entered into contracts, probably. I was going
to say, or breach of contract.
Right?
Yep.
Contracts, common law, right? Which is just that the general standard duty of care that us all as human beings agreeing to live in a society owe to each other, right? Because I'm walking down the street, I can't just go punch someone and not be at fault for that, right? There are repercussions. So I think Travis could say, no, you messed up my reputation, right? I'm losing money now because people don't want me to perform. Look what's happening. So now I'm going to counter. I'm going to sue you because you failed to be a responsible concert promoter, essentially, for me.
Yeah.
Again, I think to your point, the contracts are going to really matter here.
Yeah. And last but certainly not least is, of course, the option of settling, which is the tried and true method, which I think is the most likely here. And as a reminder, you know, settling just means that basically the parties take it out of court. They have private negotiations or arbitration, whatever, you know, is required by even the terms and conditions of the concert tickets, where they basically will meet and discuss like, okay, we're not going to do this in court. Let's figure out a money that like a number that we can all agree upon to basically close this out and take it out of the public eye.
Right.
So I think that's most likely, but you know, we'll kind of see. And so, you know, the cases will obviously unfold over time. There's probably going to be many more lawsuits filed. Again, there were 50,000 people who were there. And so far, we've got like around 300 who've been named in lawsuits so far. So a lot more could really come out. And if there are more lawsuits and they stay in court, it could take years. It could definitely take years to figure out through litigation, but it could even take years if they were going to go down the settlement route. And, you know, I think the defendants may end up turning on each other. It seems like they may be starting to at this point, because Travis's attorney actually spoke out for the first time at the end of the week and said that the city officials in Houston, the Houston Police Department, are inconsistent in their messaging and are trying to shift blame to Travis. And as we mentioned, you know, the police chief initially kind of tells people that he had a meeting with Travis to discuss potential dangers and seemed to kind of tout his relationship with Travis since Travis is from Houston, but then kind of backs down in the past couple of days to say that he's only met him twice and doesn't really know him well. Mm-hmm. And the police chief also kind of initially made a statement about how hard it would be to shut down a concert with 50,000 people, but then recently said that Travis should have shut it down. So, like, right. You see that as time is unfolding, the parties are starting, like, the tension is building and people are trying to point the finger elsewhere.
And it's actually an opportune time for you to mention our dear police chief, because he might need to start worrying. Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo asked for an independent investigation into the Houston Police Department to see whether they have any culpability. So yeah. Although they may not be named right now, mm-hmm. if they failed, mm-hmm. their duty of care, especially mm-hmm. police officers who owe a higher duty of care because that's their job mm-hmm. to serve and protect, allegedly, but they can be at fault.
I mean, listen, it's not a foregone conclusion that some of these attorneys for these victims could start to amend some of their mm-hmm. lawsuits to add the police department, especially in light of this statement. Like, I think
right.
the more that comes out, the more these things are going to change.
That's a very good point, because actually today I saw a video of a concert goer must have filmed, I think, two or three police officers who were clearly at the front of the stage just filming the crowd. And you can see the ambulance. So
it's not good.
It's really not good. So to your point, yeah, it's a very, very good point. We didn't even talk about this, is you can amend your complaint as you go. You mm-hmm. can add more evidence. You could add more defendants. You mm-hmm. could add more claims even, mm-hmm. right, to bolster your whole lawsuit,
yeah.
essentially.
Yeah.
Which is definitely going to happen here.
Yeah. Well, so as all these things start to unfold and are going to continue to unfold, Travis, you know, over the course of this has basically now agreed to refund all the attendees for their ticket costs along with the promoters. The promoters, like, refunding with Travis. He's agreed to cover all funeral costs of the victims, and he's partnered with BetterHelp to basically get free therapy to people. So, you know, for whatever it's worth, he's trying to do things to kind of clean up some of the mess around this.
Yep. And concert promoters allegedly set up a health fund to help people with medical expenses too. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think, I want to believe best case scenario, it's because they actually care and they want to make sure that, look, damage is done. Unfortunately, lives are lost. And mm-hmm. I still can't believe it, mm-hmm. but let's do whatever we can to try to make things as good as possible, or like at least less damaging. So okay, we got through it. I don't know if we need a summary of this one, but...
Do you have any final opinions or guesses for where you think things will go?
I think that a lot of money is going to be paid out. I, more than anything, hope that the lessons learned here are stricter guidelines for festival seating or mm-hmm. none of it, but making sure that personnel are properly trained, mm-hmm. that they're in the correct positions, mm-hmm. right? All this stuff, if you're going to have big festivals like this, better be top-notch, because no concert, you should never have to worry about losing your life or becoming paralyzed or injured for going to a concert that should have been fun, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You?
I agree. I mean, I think a lot of money is going to get paid out. I think they're ultimately going to settle out of court. I mean, you know, all of these companies and people together have a lot of money. I think realistically, I know people are really looking at Travis right now because they're he's the face, right? He's the face of this entire thing. Nobody knows who the Live Nation CEO is, nor does anybody care. So I think it's very easy to place blame on him. I think he likely will pay the least. I think he'll have the lowest duty of care. Mm-hmm. I think the expectations legally are probably going to be the lowest for him. But I also think the practicality of it is that there are a lot of relationships behind the scenes. And mm-hmm. I think Live Nation and all these people are going to want to work with him again. And so to maintain that relationship, they're probably going to ask for him to contribute the smallest amount of money mm-hmm. in damages to these people. But I think he's going to absolutely pay out something, mm-hmm. if mm-hmm. not for his standing in PR, just because, you know, ultimately he did name himself as one of the organizers. So I think that can't be dismissed.
Right. Yep.
But to your point, listen, I think that this is really sad. It's horrible. You know, these people were so young who got killed, and a lot of people who got hurt are very young. They were just trying to get out and have a good time. You know, when we thought that things were starting to kind of turn the corner with the pandemic. So it's just a really sad circumstance that I hope is the last that we see of this, and that it really leads to a lot of reforms for concerts and, you know, organizing festivals and things like this. Because to your point, people shouldn't have to worry about being permanently injured or dying to go to a music festival.
Right. Completely agree.
So we will certainly continue to pay attention to this and, you know, see where things unfold and see how things change. Again, we think it's going to take time realistically. Mm-hmm. So we're probably not going to be back with an update super soon, but we will come back with updates when we have them, because this is definitely just a crazy situation.
Definitely. Okay. Well, that segment's over. We have to go into our Q&A now.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the question of the week?
Let's do it.
All right, my friend. What is the biggest misconception about lawyers?
You know, I think it's like a kind of aptly timed, right? I think people think that all lawyers are like sleaze bags and that they're all just out to like win and get money and all of that. But I do think that, you know, we've got situations like Travis Scott. You see that there are people who really have good intentions, like Ben Crump, who's obviously done some serious civil rights cases and is now taking on this. Like, clearly he's actually trying to help victims. And so not all lawyers are like Tom Girardi and stealing money from victims.
Snaps to that.
What do you think?
I'm going to say one that we've actually talked about before. I think there's a misconception that all lawyers know all laws in any industry. I'm going to make it personal here and say that I'll often get criminal questions. I'll get civil questions. I'll get questions about wills and trusts. I'll get questions about divorce. And I'm like,
say divorce is a big one. But I've gotten a couple of those.
Yeah, I like how I led with criminal, but
tells me a lot about your circle.
Certain family members that I don't talk to as much now. No, but it's, what I want to clarify is like all of us lawyers, we specialize, right? We have, so Nicole and I are entertainment lawyers. So if you want to know what a writer or a director should be paid for TV or movies, we're your gals. But if you want to ask us about divorce proceedings, no idea. We have a general, okay, I should say, we have general ideas, right? Because we went to law school, we took the bar, we had to be generalists back then. But as we go on, I think the most handy skills that we have is that we know legalese. So when I read something about, let's say, divorce court, I know how to interpret what is being said.
Right.
But it still takes a lot of time and research for me to do that. I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I feel like you feel the same way. We've talked about this before. Where I'm like, I don't know. You Google it. I would Google it. That's
the
what
issue
I'm doing.
Is that like we don't know, but we're the kind of people who will go and research and like put together a whole memo for like a friend from the fourth grade who asked about like a dog bite. And you're like, this is ridiculous. Why am I doing this? For free.
Right. So I have gotten actually dog bite. That's a good one. Personal injury, right? A car crash. Oh, this was happening. I got hit on the 405. Who's liable? I'm like, I don't know.
I wasn't there. My friend.
Yeah. Call Jacob Imrani, the Lakers lawyer. Yeah. I don't know. That's not my specialty.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, I think that, you know, so all that to say, if any of you who are listening are lawyers or who have friends who are lawyers and you're asking them questions outside of their specialty and they help you, that is a good friend. You buy them a dinner because I will say our rates are very high.
And they're high.
They're high because this degree and the years of practice, it's expensive.
Right.
So
you want to put some money in my student loans? I will research that shit for you.
I will until say that then. Too. Also, people are like, what, $500 an hour? That's absurd. And I'm like, are you going to do it? You'll pay $500 for a PlayStation, but you won't pay me for legal advice.
Right.
Like that is the cost of doing business, my friend. Wow. Just because you're not getting a product.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, I mean, I don't charge them that, but I should. That would be my rate if I was at a law firm.
Oh man. Okay, so let's move into our very exclusive, hot off the presses content for our patrons. If you are not a patron, head on over to our Patreon. The link is in our
show notes,
Instagram bio, the show notes, our Twitter bio, just all the bios. There's just a way to find
us.
You
can Google it. You could research it, like we
text
just said.
Me.
Just say
you
Patreon.
You can text me and I'll send you the
legally
link.
Legally judgy.
Yeah, that too.
Go check it out. We're about to have, you know, a little lighthearted fun in this episode.
Yeah. We need it. We deserve it.
So,
yes.
With that, we have to tell people, go tell, you know, your friends and your family about us, please. We really appreciate the support. Also, don't forget, go to Apple Podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and write us a review. I know we have a whole shtick, but I have to stress it.
Yeah, you really just jumped the gun, but okay,
no,
go for
I want
it.
People to know. I'm begging them. Go to Apple and give us a 5-star rating. That's all I want.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, join us on our Patreon for more judgy shits and giggles. Until next time.
Bye.